Welcome to Parc Fermé, the Canadian Formula One podcast.
That's P3.
Oi, oi, oi!
Okay, mate, woo! Purple.
Hey, you each got another podium. Who would have thought?
We talk race reviews, news from the paddock, and bring you everything from the world of Formula One.
And something to limit the problem.
No,
congratulations.
Well, change your car. You've got a problem. Change your fucking car.
And you change your car because Checo has been saying the car is fucked up.
And now your hosts, Drew, Walker, Ed, and Tomas.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Parc Fermé, the Canadian Formula One podcast. We are back. First show of 2024 with the boys. We've got Drew, we've got Ed. We are missing Thomas in action today, but we wish him well in his journey to getting home because apparently he was a little delayed. Anyways, I just want to start this episode and this year in the Formula One by, I don't really know what else to say other than like, Jesus Christ. Like, we are a month into it. Into the year, and it's almost like Liberty Media is in possession of all the Infinity Stones, and it's just throwing the entire F1 universe into absolute fucking chaos.
Yes.
Does it seem like that to anyone else, or is it just me?
I think the F1 gods have rained down just all the juicy goods that we needed in order to have an entertaining season, regardless of what happens. Whoever crosses the finish line is irrelevant.
Go ahead.
It's going to be juicy start to finish, and they did it early into this year.
They're just peppering us with storylines for the entire year. You've got Günther Steiner, who got the axe from Haas. You've got some ridiculous new team names, i.e. Visa Cash App RB Red Bull. You have Stake, which is also a little bit, I'm not so sure. What's the full name for Stake again?
Sauber.
Anybody?
I don't, yeah, who knows?
Stake, Sauber.
I haven't even seen it. Yeah.
Who knows?
I just saw the livery on their car.
Which is awesome. We're going to get into that.
I don't mind the green. That's okay.
Yeah.
You got Andretti, who's not being admitted into Formula One. And then to top it all off, to just set a whole bunch of wheels in motion, you've got Lewis Hamilton finally announcing he's going to be signing with Red Bull next
Ferrari.
Year. And just, fuck, Ferrari. What am I saying?
I wish it was Red Bull. That's
amazing.
Ferrari.
Someone's wishing for something else.
Maybe there's a foreshadowing. Ferrari, not Red Bull. Which is just, you know, causing its own, has its own ripples in this little Formula One pod. So, again, like, I don't even know where to start right now. We thought we'd maybe kind of warm up, get into some preseason rumors, maybe talk about some preseason testing, but now we have all of this to discuss. Should we start with like the big news? Lewis, Ferrari.
I have so many things.
Where do
There's
we go?
So
from there?
Many things. Like,
I know. Okay. Start with Lewis, Ferrari, first reactions.
Okay. So I was talking to Ed about this a little bit, and like, the fact that Lewis has decided to go to Ferrari is just one domino that's going to just knock a whole bunch of things around. Because then immediately you have like, okay, Carlos Sainz got the axe. Now who's going into the second Mercedes or the first Mercedes seat or second Mercedes seat? I guess that depends on what direction they want to go in. Do they have somebody like, you know, Fernando Alonso with a little bit of age behind him who can kind of help guide, you know, George Russell, that you know, the last 10 yards kind of idea? Or do you put someone like Alex Albon, who is like a karting, you know, friend and frenemy with George Russell? Do you put somebody completely brand new? And now George Russell is like the veteran on the team, now teaching the young guy. There are so many opportunities. And now each one of those options has another domino effect in what happens. And like, you know, Does Carlos Sainz go to somewhere like the new Stake Sauber team, right? And like, does he kick out somebody like, you know, Valtteri Bottas? And like, where does this all play out? And, you know, as far as Lewis going to Ferrari, like, hats off to the guy. Like, Lewis Hamilton's a great driver. That's non-negotiable. He's one of my favorites. Will always be one of my favorites. Is Ferrari one of my favorites? Nah. Am I going to cheer on the guys in red a little more? 100%. But I think the reality is like, good for him, because what a move that took. Like, he has a relationship with Freddie Vasseur, which I, you know, comes back from like his early racing days, you know, in the lower leagues. But he had to make a big call. You know what I mean? Like, I would argue that this is equally as big of a call when he left McLaren and came over to Mercedes. But, you know, from what I understand, and I'm not a kart racer myself, but like, I can understand it, you know, in terms of like a baseball player, you know, whoever plays baseball, like, their dream is to be a Yankee. You know what I mean? Like, they would love to play as a Yankee. And mm-hmm. so I can imagine every kart racer, from every interview I've ever heard, everyone's like, oh, would you like to drive for Ferrari? Deep down, they all want to drive for Ferrari. And if he can go do this in his twilight years and go out with a couple of big bags of money on the way out, God bless him. God bless that guy. But I know Ed had a couple things that he wanted to say about this. I could see him like freaking out in the background, like, please pass the buck to me. So this is me, sir, passing the buck to you. Please enlighten us.
No, I was actually kind of I was happy that it wasn't passed to me, because my son was going nuts in the background. That's why I was fidgety. But regardless, yeah, like, Ferrari is, I don't know, I think it's the mecca for all racing drivers, especially in an open wheel in Formula One. And anytime someone gets into a seat of an open wheel race car and they compete, they want to drive for Ferrari. Even there's the same reason Sebastian Vettel said when he left for Ferrari from Red Bull, after he was like really doing well, got destroyed finally by the lower drivers like Max Verstappen and also Lewis Hamilton as well. But yeah, like, it's just this honor driving for the Monegasque, driving the scarlet red car. It was a fantastic move of Lewis Hamilton, but who's to say he cared about what Mercedes thought of? Like, he won them 6 championships, drivers, and I think 7? Is it 7 or 8? Constructors. I think it was 7. Oh, no, sorry. It was 8. Because the 8th championship where he lost, they won Constructors mm-hmm. for that year. So he has every reason to... If he went to, like, Visa Cash App RB, Mercedes wouldn't give a shit. Everyone would be like, why? But it's fine. Like, it was a fantastic move. Kudos to him. Kudos to Formula One. Kudos to Liberty Media. He's like, oh my God, I couldn't even draw this. Couldn't even plan for this even better. Now we have a lot of news. Now it's exciting again. So welcome back, people.
Welcome Walker, back. What do you got on this, buddy?
You know, I remembered when I... So first of all, I heard the news and I was like absolutely surprised, because I thought, you know, he would always like retire, go off into the sunset in Mercedes, just like, you know, it would be a nice, quiet, quiet exit, very dignified. And then this happened and it just completely floored me. But it reminded me of... I think it was earlier in 2023, maybe in the fall. I remember there were some rumors floating around where he was talking to Ferrari, and how he was just being like, oh, no, there's nothing happening there. Like, you know, me and Freddie Vasseur, like, we go way back. Like, we're just chatting. We talk all the time. Like, it was just kind of like playing it off. But clearly there was more to it than that. So it'd be interesting to know kind of like when these discussions happen, when they decide to come to a head. It also surprised me that they signed a multi-year deal with Ferrari. We're not really sure what that means, but he clearly feels like he has a lot of extra juice to give. And I think he's really focused on winning that 8th championship. You know, I think, you know, I think deep down it probably irks him that he didn't win. And I think he feels like he still has something to prove. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how dominant he can be. Obviously, this year with Mercedes and next year moving on with Ferrari. I don't think Lewis or Mercedes owe either anything. I think they've been like incredible partners. I don't think there can be any bad blood. I don't think there can be any jealousy. You know, they've been incredibly successful together. And I hope that this last year together, I hope that he's able to they're able to work together still really well, put together a competitive car. It'll be interesting to see kind of what happens in those team dynamics as the year moves on. Do they start to favor George maybe? Do they give him a little bit better strategy, a little bit of better, you know, car based on the fact that he's going to be there long term? I'm not really sure, but it'll be interesting to see how that interpersonal dynamic evolves between Lewis and Mercedes for the rest of 2024.
I have so many things to ask and say. Like, this just opens up Pandora's box of F1. Like, okay, let's take a look at Charles Leclerc. Like, they signed him last year, like halfway through last year. Negotiations took forever and signed him to a long deal. And like, did Ferrari already know that like Louis was coming over and was like, listen, I'm just going to sign Leclerc long term while he thinks he's number one. We lock him down and then we bring over Lewis. Because I think if the talks with Lewis had already progressed and then they started negotiating with Charles, I think he would have shut that down, because like, he doesn't want to play second fiddle. You know what I mean? He's a great driver. And like, between him and Carlos, he thought he was number one. Whether the world thinks that is up to us, whatever. But I think that like, he thought he was the first seat there for sure. And now what? Like, is he first seat? Like, your second seat's Lewis Hamilton, buddy. He doesn't sit second to nobody. So like, that dynamic I think is wild. And then the other great point that you brought up is like, how can you race with knowing that you're going to be at another team next year? Like, this sport is so wild in terms of like how they announce trades. Like in baseball, if you're traded, you don't even play that afternoon. Like, they have you on a plane and you're gone, dude. You're gone. Like, you don't know anything. You have nothing. Like, everything's done. Like, they changed the signs. You're out of here. And so like, are they going to keep their cards close to their chest in terms of like, what does Lewis know about like what they got coming down the pipeline? Like, are they going to like, what does this look like? Cause that dynamic has changed. Cause like, you're now sleeping with the enemy at one point. Right. And so, you know, I think personally, like, Lewis is a winner. Like, that's it. And like, all these guys in theory, like, they're winners. And Lewis thinks he has it, like you mentioned, Walker. Like, he's got it in his tank still that he's ready to rock. And, you know, he saw Ferrari last year as the only team that was even close to, like, pulling up with Red Bull. And I think that he just made a move for himself in the twilight of his career. And he's just like, you know, I'm a winner. Winners win. And, like, this is my shot at it. Obviously, there's no seat at Red Bull. Would he have taken it? Probably not. But, like, yeah, I don't know. There's so many things.
So I have a question based on that. I have many questions.
See what I'm saying?
What you just said, but yeah, let's just start here. Do you think he would have made the jump to Ferrari if they weren't as competitive as they were last year? Is this purely like, I want to race in red, I want to, you know, be with one of the most historic teams, or is there a competitive advantage he's looking for over Mercedes?
Personally, I think there's 20%. It's Ferrari, I'll go over. 20%, I have a relationship with Freddie Vasseur, and I think that has a lot to do with it, because he's going to gel with that team very quickly. But I personally think that like 60% of that, more than half, is like, these guys are the closest shot at winning. The W12 or whatever they were racing in last year was going backwards. They were getting slower. It was like, I know they ended up second in the Constructors Championship by like this much, but like, that car got slower and worse over the year. And so it just was not jiving with him. And like, I just think it's a missed opportunity for Mercedes. And, you know, from everything I've read about our homeboy Toto Wolff, he respected it and was just like, listen, I get it. You know, we had a good run. Obviously, good things got to come to an end. And this is it. You know, it is what it is.
Ed, what's your take?
I don't know. For me, I wouldn't even think of it in that light. Like, Lewis wants to race some more. He wants to compete in a fast car. And I think what just tipped over everything was he kept on the engineers last year in terms of like, these are the things that are, that needs to be changed. And his common, I don't know if you guys noticed, his common complaint was that the engineers were not listening to him in terms of his inputs, post-race and pre-race and even during free practice. So that could just like, it could be a number of things. I think everything will be clear as we get into 2025, but specifically for this year, just to draw out that other point, Drew, like driving for another team and then you're going to be in another team next year. There's some been like, I don't know, shutouts before on different teams in terms of like sharing information. So that's probably going to be not so different if they're not going to be sharing any type of 2025 advancements. It's only going to be purely just for this year.
Is it possible, in your opinions, to compartmentalize this move and to be all in 2024 with Mercedes, with Lewis with Mercedes and Mercedes with Lewis, and also knowing that he's leaving the following year? Like, they both, you know, they toe the line, yeah, we're going to give it our all this year. We are going to, like, dominate. We're going to, you know, at least try to dominate and race as hard as we can. Is that possible, or is it that just, like, a nice thought? What do you guys think?
No, it's on you, dude.
Okay. I don't know. For me, if I were in Lewis's shoes, it's a win-win for me. If they come up with a fantastic car this year and I kill it, like his thoughts would be immediately, y'all should have just listened to me. That's one side of it. But I think it's more on the side of, I feel bad for Mercedes because like now they're losing an ace driver. I don't know anyone that's in the driver market right now that would be even remotely close to Lewis's talents that would be able to move right now or for 2025. So I think that's their problem. It's more towards Mercedes rather than Lewis. Lewis can go out with a bang and like be full on, fully concentrated. He wants to leave on a high note. He kept on saying that in different interviews and in different posts. So he's gonna go full tilt this season. That's no question. And then now they're going to see if Mercedes is going to regret that, allowing him to leave or not.
So let's stick with the Mercedes garage for a second and talk about that empty seat. Not a ton of options out there, at least not what we'd maybe consider, you know, good qualified options. We had this discussion a little bit in the Discord server earlier this week, talking about some potential replacements. Who would you like to see in his seat in 2025? Start with you, Drew.
Fernando Alonso.
Why is that?
I think it would be fun
for the show,
a season or two. Yeah, yeah. It's not the long term play. Like, he's in the twilight of his career. I keep saying that term. I'm going to stop saying that. He's in the end of his career and he's looking for, you know, I think that jump over to Aston Martin, he rode the wave high. He obviously showed that this guy can drive. You know what I mean? He's 42 years old or however old he is. It doesn't even matter. This guy is still competitive to the nth degree. But I think that like just to have him over there, and he seemed very willing to teach. And I think that his ability, it's not even just that he was willing to teach, but I think it was like he took like the older brother mentorship role. And I think that was kind of missing between Lewis and George. And I think, you know, Fernando Alonso and Lewis Hamilton are both great drivers. They will be, you know, legends of the sport in our time. And I think that that would be a fun way to kind of like see him end his career. And like, I don't think it'd be a bad play for Mercedes because, you know, that guy would drive the tires off the car. It wouldn't be a waste. You know, I've heard a lot of talk about Alex Albon, you know, getting raced or pushed over there. And do I hate that idea? No, not at all. I don't know if he's the best. You know what I mean? Because then I've heard chatter too about him going over to Red Bull. And like, so, you know, I don't know. My quick answer would be Fernando Alonso, because I don't know who else is on deck in terms of like what that seat's going to look like. Because it won't be Carlos Sainz. They're not swapping drivers with Ferrari. And they're not going to downplay. Like, no one's going to replace Lewis. I think Fernando Alonso will be the quickest, fastest, easy replacement that isn't a long-term play. And if that's kind of what their goal is, mm-hmm. is to get George Russell a little bit of coaching, a little bit of mentorship, I think that's the play.
My thoughts on it might be a little bit different, because now I'm not just looking at another replacement for Lewis, but are you looking for a team leader, or are you looking for another teammate? Is George going to be driver number one? So that's one thing too. Like, yeah, we do have an extension for George, I think, till 2025, I believe, or even 2026. But yeah, like, you cover the basics in terms of, or like the real strong drivers, like Fernando Alonso, you have Alex Albon. I was thinking even to the lights of maybe Ocon or Gasly. I don't see anyone else that's like still seasoned, but not to the extent of like they're in their twilight, or they're not really as performing, or they're too early into their career in Formula One. But let's not forget too, there is that one kid out of Formula Two, Andrea Kimi Antonelli. Again, mm-hmm. he's going into F2, but we don't know. Can he actually make it into Formula One? Are we bringing him in as like a driver that was like Lewis Hamilton when he first jumped in? He gave everyone a problem. So is this going to be the next Lewis Hamilton when he comes in fresh and just destroys everyone? Or are we bringing in a fresh new driver, and maybe George might be also on his way out? Who knows? We'll see. But for now, I agree with you, Drew. I would love to see Fernando driving in Mercedes. And then Mercedes would be like, we got another legend again, and this time he's actually going to win. So I don't know. We'll see.
What do you got, Walker?
Walker?
You know, for some reason, the Alonso option doesn't seem as compelling to me. I don't know. You know, I feel like Alonso in a lot of ways almost likes to operate like he's on a bit of an island. Like he's Alonso, he does it his way. And I think when you look at like the structure and the hierarchy that you have at Mercedes, like that fine German-tuned hierarchical management, you know, esque kind of vibe they have going on there, it'd be interesting to see how he gels with that. I'm personally a fan of Mercedes going young. I would love to see him with a couple of like really young drivers. Well, not really young drivers, but younger drivers who have George Russell. And my second pick is Albon. I think he did an amazing job last year. I think he outdrove that car on numerous occasions. I think he qualified really well. You know, you have James Vowles over there who is now the team principal. He came from Mercedes. So he has a little bit of that style that he's used to in terms of like how the team is run. And from like a mentorship perspective, I think going back to that structure that Mercedes has as a team, I think that maybe helps alleviate some of like the pressure that you would, or I think maybe not the pressure, but the requirements maybe of having like a more senior driver. You know, both of these guys have already driven with two of the greatest drivers that we've seen over the last, you know, generation, you know, whether it's Max or Lewis, right? They've both been in that seat where they are decidedly the junior driver. And now they have a chance to like really get in there, give it all they got, and really try and establish themselves as dominant drivers on their team. And I think because of the structure that you have within Mercedes and you know, the way that Toto runs that ship, I think, you know, it would give them lots of space to do that. and I don't know if this is the right word, but almost in a respectful way, where shit doesn't get out of hand, where personalities and egos don't supersede like the team game. And I think they have enough structure in place to kind of manage that well. So I'd love to see Albon again get a shot on a top team in a scenario where you don't have such a dominant, overbearing figure like Max sitting next to you. And I think you probably perform a lot better with someone like George next to him than someone like Max, because Max just seems to destroy every single one of his teammates. That's my take.
I think that's fair. And I know I have an affinity for somebody like Liam Lawson. Do we know if he's tied to anybody? Like, is he tied to a team?
I think he would still be...
AlphaTauri?
He's still AlphaTauri, the reserve driver for Red
Bull. Gotcha, okay. Because that's another kid I would love to see. I think that would be a nice fit in, because I think that would be like the Oscar Piastri to Lando Norris would be like the Liam Lawson to the George Russell. Like, I would love to see that little dynamic, because I think they're both like a little bit youngish, and they're still like very hungry, all good drivers. That's what I would love to see, but I wasn't sure, and I was under the understanding that he was already contracted up. That's why Albon made more sense coming out of Williams, because I know they have that relationship that they pull that over. But that would be my ultimate, but I didn't think that was on the table.
Well, you know, speaking of ultimate, Toto and Nyck de Vries are pretty tight.
It's true.
So maybe there's a chance of de Vries comeback.
Yeah. Well, he's being sued right now, so...
What's he being sued for?
What?
There was some firm in like where the Belgium or something that gave him a ton of money to help develop his career.
Yeah.
And the part of the contract was, if you make it to Formula One, you have to pay this back. Like, that's our, we're taking a chance on you. And if you make it to F1, you owe us this money back. If you don't make it, like, we eat it, it's a loss. And as soon as he got that, what was it, the drive for Williams a couple of years ago, where he kind of like subbed in.
Yeah.
Because
they said pay up, because sucker. George,
they were like, they said pay up.
And he didn't even make enough money as like a one day driver for Williams.
No. And he's like, nope. And then he had whatever, how many races was last year? 10 races, 12 races. And I think he's feeling the pinch.
Oh God!
And now they're suing him. So.
No, well, even if he drove for that that season with AlphaTauri, that was beyond the contractual limit, because it was only till 2022. They got
him.
They only got him because he subbed in. So that was them considering making it to F1.
I would argue they're not wrong. He did make it to F1.
True,
one day, one year, also, 1 hour, yeah, one century, still a minute. It's still, it is what it is.
That was like a $250,000 day for de Vries.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
I don't think Formula E's got the same paydays, you know what I mean?
No, they don't.
No, I don't think so. Let's quickly go over to the other garage. We talked about quickly Ferrari, Leclerc, the Leclerc-Lewis dynamic. But then there's also poor Carlos, who finds himself... He's like the... It reminds me of Checo from like a few years ago when he was... What was it? Racing Point?
Yeah, yeah, it was still Racing Point. Yeah,
it was Racing Point back then, and he was out of a ride, and then he kind of got swooped in or scooped up by Red Bull in the dying seconds of the year. So what happens to Carlos? Where does he go? Because I think he deserves a ride. I think he deserves a drive in Formula 1.
He was the only driver to beat Red Bull last season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, arguably the second best driver in that whole season, right? If you want to look at just strictly numbers. But, like, I don't know. Because for me, all the talk, all the chatter that I've heard around all the socials and media or whatever, everything is pointing to Carlos Sainz looking forward to the Audi Sauber team as of 2026. But that leaves a really big 2025 gap. So, like, what happens there? Mm-hmm. Like, are they just going to pull him over and kind of, like, groom him quicker? Or, like, I don't even know the nuances of the contracts for Valtteri Bottas. Like, is that I guess this is kind of a question and a statement at the same time. Like, is that stake Sauber team currently Is it going to be bought out completely and revamped, or is it kind of like a, we're just going to amalgamate and like Joe Granu and Valtteri Bottas are going to like go into Audi Sauber and that's just kind of how it's going to play out?
I don't know, but I can't, it doesn't make sense. I mean, as much as I like Bottas, like it doesn't make sense in a world in Formula One where Bottas and Joe have a ride.
And Carlos Sainz doesn't.
Yeah, doesn't make any sense. No. Ed, where do you think he's going to land?
I don't know. Like the dancing card on all the teams are pretty stacked. The only thing that I see right now that's even somewhat remotely competitive is Aston Martin.
I was going to say that.
Like for the meantime.
I was going to say that. Yeah. I would love to see Carlos Sainz and Fernando Alonso. And I know Daddy Stroll's never going to let that happen, but like, let's just, you know, now that it's a publicly traded company and there's other stakeholders involved, like let's pull little Stroll out and like, that would be a duo. I'd be okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
They have that little Spanish Inquisition going over there and they would just be slapping. Exactly. Oh, that would be unreal. And this is the thing.
Sorry, I stole that, Drew.
The other thing too is like, you know, like Ed said, there's so many nuances because like, what if Esteban Ocon, you know, if let's play that one out, let's say he goes over to Mercedes now, like, does he jump in at Alpine? Cause I could see that, you know what I mean? Gasly and
well, I mean, I think he goes wherever there's a seat, right? And it's really going to depend on who takes that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, there are only so many seats, right?
But you he's know, not going to Williams.
Nor is he going to Haas.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. So like, it's not any, yeah. seat. It's yeah. only yeah. some seats. Like if Albon dipped, he's yeah. not going to Williams. But like then he doesn't have a seat. Like I very much do think that like the Audi Sauber, like that, you know, if they went with a new look, the whole thing, and like, you know, they went with it, I'm cool with Carlos Sainz going there. I think that's a good little matchup. And like, I don't know whoever they're going to pair him with. I don't think Joe Gray, I don't know. What are your two thoughts on Joe?
No, not Joe. I think he's garbage.
I think so too. Sorry. Like I just,
I mean,
he had a shot. He did a decent I would team, almost... but like, man.
Like nothing. I would almost choose Lance over Joe. At least Lance has a little bit of gumption.
Yeah.
You know, at least he like gives her and like crashes into people, but at least he does something. Yeah,
he brings entertainment like value, if nothing
there's
else.
Something there. If nothing else, something to talk about. Joe is just kind of like, he just kind of blends into the track. I don't know. It's just kind of like there, but not.
I mean, he had some highlights in free practice. And
Wow.
He did. He had highlights in free practice.
I remember that free practice. Epic practice.
Qualifying, too. But that's it.
The fact that your first point of reference for him was a really good free practice, I think says all you need to say about Joe.
But you know he brings that Asian
Maybe
money.
It's the money.
Yeah, he brings that.
That's what I was going to say. It's the money. He brings the money.
I don't know.
Anyways.
I don't know.
Carlos has got to stick around, though.
I do. I like the guy. His worth. I do. I like him.
Maybe Red Bull. Maybe he replaces the other Spaniard.
Could be. We don't know.
I'm with you.
You know.
I'm with you.
You know what I'm saying.
I'm picking up your point down. But I don't know, whatever. Okay, can we just like take this as a great segue into the ridiculousness of the names of cars this year?
Mm-hmm.
Can we just like talk about like how sponsorship?
I need to look up the Steak Sauber.
I think that's it. I think it's just Steak Sauber. Like I think that we thought it was Steak Sauber
something
Kick.
Else. There's more to it. That was
Steak Sauber Kick.
I think it was the Kick.
Yeah.
Steak F1 Team Kick Sauber. That's what it is.
Wow.
What the?
Put that on a business card. It'd have to be like a poster.
F1. Steak F1 Team Kick Sauber.
Oh my.
That's no bueno. F1 Team Kick Sauber.
Yep.
No bueno.
No.
Like Steak is a cool company. However, I like their little logo and like the type font, and I get down with that. Let's get into it while we're here too. The livery slaps. That livery is the green machine, that monster color. You know, I get down with that. Like, Monster should be sponsoring these guys. Like, what are we talking about here? You know what I mean? And I don't know. I thought it was new. It was fresh. We haven't had a green like that on a car. I don't even know if it, like, I wanted yellow to come back, but if the green's going to come back, I dig it. Because I also like the Aston Martin green. I think that's classy as fuck. But, yeah, that's my take on it. You guys in? Are you guys into it, or?
I dig it. It's the outlines. That's what does it for me in terms of, like, the design for race cars. And if it's sharp, sleek, yeah. It's definitely different from the rest of the field.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that, but it's different good.
It's a little neon for me, a little fluorescent for my taste, but Tron.
A little bit of Tron.
A little Tron.
I also did. I was feeling the Alfa Romeo colors, though. Like, I didn't mind them. Like, that, I like the red colors. And black. They were
that, like, dark red.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That was real nice. That was sharp. Nice. Let's segue to.
So we have.
We got it. We got to talk about the other ridiculous nine name team. Visa, Cash App, Red Bulls, with an S, plural. There's more than one bull.
Multiple bulls.
So many bulls. All the bulls.
So that's the actual, because like I thought it was just going to be named Visa Cash App RB. So they're going to say Red Bulls. That's the official name.
Oh, Racing Bulls. Visa Cash App Racing Bulls.
Nailed it.
All right.
Like, what marketing team was in charge of these two? Like, who named it? Like, I feel like, you know, when you pick a name out of a hat and they picked like four of them together and they're like, oh yeah, let's just use all of these. Like, what? You know what I mean? Like, it's brutal.
They built a randomizer app.
Yeah, and for sure. There's got to be a Formula One team name generator and they all just went ham on it.
It's absolutely crazy. Okay, so the real question is, who would you rather be racing for? You go up to somebody, you meet them at a party, you're like, hi, I'm Drew, and I'm a Visa Cash App Racing Bulls driver. Or would you rather be, I'm a Stake F1 team Kick Sauber driver?
Neither. I would say neither. I'd be like,
but you have to choose.
I'm an F1 driver. Visa Cash App sounds like I make more money as an F1 driver. Where Steak sounds like you work for, like, I don't know, the Outback Steakhouse. That's a problem. And I know it's a different steak, but, like, you don't know that when you say it.
Yeah.
Unless you see it written down. It just sounds like you race for, like, a food farming company. You know what would be sick? A milk. You know, like, the white and, like, baby powder blue? Like, the milk? Do, like, a car that color. That'd be so lit. So lit. Be, like, bacon, eggs, and milk.
Are the dairy farmers of Canada now going to be sponsoring F1?
Yeah.
I was just looking at the Formula One site with the new Stake F1 team Kick Sauber profile headshots. And it looks really funny because it's just like heads of Valtteri and Joe on like a gray nondescript racing suit because they don't know what they're going to look like
yet.
Got
you.
It's pretty ghetto.
Those are going to be very Tron-esque. Like, to not have built-in lights in that would be a travesty. Like, I want neon underglows in their shoes, bro.
Well, I think their suits should just be all neon 100%. Green. All fluorescent 100%. Green. Nothing else.
I would do it. Like,
it's like, I would do it. Like, the Mercedes black, it should just be all neon. All green. Yeah. All neon. My goodness, we're running out of time here, but there's still so much to talk about we haven't touched on. Steiner exit. Steiner firing.
Yeah.
Really quick take, anybody?
I don't know what Netflix is going to do now. They're screwed. Netflix is screwed. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they don't have their ratings monster anymore.
Like, and then Danny Rick, like, he's a part-time driver now. I don't know what's going to happen, man. I think the whole Drive to Survive is, like, not going to survive.
You know what? William Buxton is going to be replaced by Gunther Steiner as the
host, the narrator.
As the commentator, yeah. The host, the narrator. Just be a bunch
that's
of,
not
like,
bad.
Fucking F-bombs.
You know what? Good for Gunther, though.
This fucking guy.
Good for Gunther. You know, like... I don't know whether he was invited to leave or he got fired or however they want to play it out.
No, he got fired. Straight.
And it was a Gene Haas just said, like, Gunther, you're shit in the bed.
You're done.
But the problem is I don't know what that Asian dude's name is that came in to replace him. I can't remember it off the top of my head, but it was the chief engineer, whoever that guy was. He went to Gene and was like, dude, we don't have the ingredients to win races. Like, we got two left feet and ugly fucking shoes, and you guys, and now I'm like team principal, and you guys are like, okay, go out there and win. And he's like, with what? And so like, that's not very reassuring on any level. So like, I'm sure Gunther was just frustrated. Like the fact that he even brought Haas into F1 is like a miracle, an absolute miracle. And you know what? Good for him. I hope he just lives rich. You know what I mean? Like, you're just a rich guy. He lives in the States now. He's got his boats. You know what I mean? He's chilling. Like, go be rich, dude. Like, you're okay. You had a thing. You were really good at it. You're funny. You made a mark on Formula One forever. Everyone will remember Gunther. And, like, just go be rich.
Yeah, it's so bad now with Haas. Like, even Gene Haas said that he's not going to put any type of development into the car. So I think...
So what are we talking about? And now you have Andretti not being able to get into F1, being denied their application because they say they're not bringing anything to the table. Can we just talk about, like, what an absorption? Like, you have one team that can't even be competitive and struggling. Why can't these guys just absorb it? Because then that way everybody wins. You're not adding an 11th team. Like, it's solving all the problems. And Andretti can come in and smash it. What other name in motorsports in North America is there than Andretti? Like, when I think of racing and motorsports as a child, Andretti was the only name that I could think of. You know what I mean? And so, like, why wouldn't you let that happen? And I don't know. There has to be politics that we don't
know. Well, you know what? Maybe that's their way in. Maybe that's their way in. And maybe that'll be a godsend for someone like Haas.
Yeah.
To just, like, get out, sell... and peace out.
Well, who knows, you know, if they're even starting the conversation now.
Maybe
like
they are.
Maybe for 2025. Like, Haas will still want to be his name out there, and that's the only reason why he has this Formula One team. And then you get Andretti to bring in like the engineers, you know, because that's what he needs.
Well, yeah, it'll just be the Haas Andretti Cadillac GM Stake F1 team.
Starbucks Frappuccino. Starbucks Frappuccino. F1 team.
Fucking hell.
Well, there's absolutely nothing compelling about Haas anymore.
No.
I think it's just like, I mean, maybe they'll do something interesting this year. I'm not sure. Maybe they'll come out of nowhere and, you know, win a few qualies. But really, it's like their entire appeal was very much tied up in their principal. And maybe that's something Haas didn't like. Maybe, you know, he thought like too much of that attention was going towards the persona of Haas instead of the actual, you know, the racing team. You know, maybe it became too much of a sideshow because of who was running the team. It's hard to say, but hopefully he commentates. Maybe they'll bring him on like the pit walk or something like that. Him and Martin Brundle harassing a celebrity.
What a dynamic duel. So Gunther dope. Can harass them in 8 different languages. Bless his heart. No matter what country they land in, he can harass.
Yeah. When they pretend not to speak any English, he can like drop whatever language they're in.
Hold my beer. I got it.
So I feel like we talked about a lot and we haven't even like hit like preseason testing yet. This is all before any cars have actually hit the track. So it's going to be, we're going to have a wealth of shit. We're going to have a ton of shit to talk about once cars actually hit the track. We do some testing. I feel like there are a million things we did not talk about yet, at least in depth. But speaking of preseason testing, we are what, 2 weeks away right now? February 23rd is when, or actually February 21st. Is when we get to see Joe rip it up at FP1, which I know Ed cannot wait for. Let's see those blistering FP1 times by Joe. But until then, we will be there back next week and every week after that with everything you need to know about Formula One, because this has been Parc Fermé, the Canadian Formula One podcast with Drew, Ed. Next week, we're bringing back Thomas. We can't wait to speak with you again soon. Remember, rate, subscribe, leave a review, check the link in the show notes, hit us up on the Discord channel, and until next week.
Ooh, I love it.